And I hear the first officer call out. And the first officer jumps on the radio and he screams, "Holy shit, it's the goat man." And I mean, it just like everything went quiet. And I could hear the ringing in my ears and I could feel my heart race. And so I hit my lights and I went flying up there.
I've been told by some older people, elders, that you grab them and you hold them and you don't own them, but you hold them there until daylight. If you can hold them or pull them into the light, it destroys anything they have, any kind of power or anything that, or anything they were trying to do to you, it'll destroy them.
This guy was like bouncing, like, you know, like how you see people kind of getting ready to jig, you know how they kind of bounce? Yeah, he was like that way. He was just kind of bouncing, and he was just kind of going back and forth from one foot to the other. And he just kind of turned sideways, and he turned back over to the other way, and he took off. Holy shit, he jumped in Wanda.
Hello and welcome back. You're listening to Lodge Tales, and I'm your host, Rod Williamson. This episode, we have the owner of the original Ghost Stories from the Res. It's a Facebook group where Native Americans write in their ghost stories, and her page has a lot of followers. And if you're not a follower of her page, I would encourage you to get on Facebook and search up the original Ghost Stories from the Res. And it's full of so many stories from different people, different reservations. I mean, all the way from down south up to Alaska. There's a lot of content there, and I would really encourage you guys to go to her page and, you know, request to become a member of the group and enjoy all the content she has. There's tons there. Like, there's a lot there. Well, she's from the Wind River Reservation in Wyoming, and as we were recording this, I was listening to a lot of the stories she was talking about, and the one that stood out to me the most, and I don't know why, is of this clown spirit that they have down there. And I find it intriguing, to say the least, because this spirit, or whatever it is seen by a lot of people down there, just like how on Blackfeet Res, the goat man is seen quite a bit, and different alcohol spirits are quite common around there too. And hers is unique though, I think, because of this clown type thing. I have more questions about it, like, where did it come from? When did it first come to that res? Why does it look the way it looks and all this? So if anybody has any ideas on this that's from the Wind River Reservation, please write to me and let me know what your thoughts are. Maybe even come on the podcast and explain. But I really appreciate her coming on the show. And, you know, I took a little break here and I'm back. I got a few episodes, a few interviews coming up here, so hopefully this week I can get to all of those, and by the weekend put out more content. But it might be even next week that I put out the rest of them. So we'll see how that goes. But thanks for joining us, and let's get into the show here.
Hello, my name is Levon Rodriguez. I own Ghost Stories from the Res, and I'm here with Rod, telling my story. Where I come from, the Wind River Res, they have this car that goes around at night, and they say it's real fancy. My daughter, my youngest daughter, saw it like up close. She said it's like a hearse, like an old-time fancy hearse. Ooh. And we had a police officer come into our reservation and, you know, start patrolling and stuff. He called up to dispatch, and he pulled over this real fancy black car. And he called up to dispatch and told them that he was going to run some names. So he walked up to the window and knocked on the window, the driver opened it, and he looked in the back, and he seen all these boys sitting back there. And he asked, well, you know, why? What's going on? And the driver said nothing. He said, we're just driving around looking for people we need to pick up. And so he's like, okay. He's like, I need all the names. So the driver gave him the names of the boys that were sitting in the back. But see, while they were sitting in the back, when the police looked in, he said that there was like a mist, like a smoking mist in the back. And those boys were just staring into space.
Weird.
And like, yeah, like they had no emotion, nothing. Like they were lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the police officer said, okay, well, I need all the names. And he pulled, you know how they get on the radio and call dispatch?
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking to dispatch, and he started telling him, hey, look, these are the names of these boys. And that dispatch got scared. He said, get away from that car now. And he's like, why? What's going on? He said, all those boys you described are deceased. He turned and looked at the driver, and the driver started changing into like a evil clown. And he started laughing real wicked. And I guess he drove off. But my sister was working with a person, and they knew the lady who showed up, the EMT.
Yeah.
And she told my sister, and she's a white woman. She told my sister all of that is true. She said when we found him, he was talking to someone, but no one was there. He said he didn't. He went crazy, you know. And she said I saw the whole thing. So I guess he was talking to them, but no one else saw him.
Dang, and that. See my. My wife's goddaughter, she's from down there, and she's going to school in the town we live in, and she was just here a couple of nights ago,
uh-huh.
And she was talking about that car and those clowns.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and she, you know, I've heard that from two different places now, describing the same thing.
Yeah.
Are there any more stories about that clown that you know?
Yeah, I saw it.
Who?
I used to live in what we call Milford Village. We still call Milford Village, but that was the place we lived. We had a two-story house there.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my mom went down to the casino, which is maybe 30 miles away. We went to the casino, and we were there, and finally decided to come home. But it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And it's a big circle of, you know, like a housing circle.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle, there was this old rickety playground. And my lights were facing straight towards it when I pulled in. And I got out and I started hearing circus music. And I'm all like, what the hell's going on? And I look at my lights. And there's this clown dancing and doing flips and everything right at that playground.
Whoa.
See, I was told that he comes after people with lost, that are lost, or kids that try to commit suicide are sad and not doing too good. Yeah, so I was stuck there, and my mom's like yanking me, saying, come on, let's go in, it's the clown. Because he's seen there a lot. A lot of people have seen him.
Dang. I want to say I heard another story about that, but it was on this lady. She was last night, or wait, when was that? About 3 days ago, maybe? I don't remember. This past week sometime, this lady was talking, and she was having people write stories into her, and she was reading them. And she read one back from, it sounds really similar to what you're saying, that one of the girls that wrote in said that her friend's boyfriend, it was something kind of far off like that, like her friend's boyfriend was running, and there's one kind of like housing subdivision, I guess, and then there's this path to another one, and he went out running, jogging on that, and he could hear rustling in the brush, and he didn't know what that was. It kind of scared him. He thought maybe there was dogs or, you know, something out there. But as he kept running, he could hear it still in the brush, and he stopped kind of closer to those other houses, and he looks back because it was in the brush like right by him. And what came out was one of those clowns, and it was on its, like, doing a handstand, but looking up at him all weird, you know, like his head's all kind of cocked up looking at him. And he could hear this giggling the whole time. And he started walking really fast on his hands like he was chasing him. And the guy, I guess, just ran to the other house and got away. But I've heard something like that, too.
Yeah, that's scary. When I saw it, I couldn't believe it. You know, I was just stuck there. I live in the city, but I go home a lot to the reservation. And in the city, you really don't see things like that. And if you do, it's kind of explainable, you know?
Yeah.
But you go home and you see something like that, and it's like in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, there's no really anybody out. It's dark. Like, it is really dark in the middle of that circle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have my lights on, and it's playing music, and it's doing flips and dancing. And it was weird.
How about that? Is there any more stories that you know of it?
The car or the clown?
Either one, that clown or that car.
Okay, my daughter, she was getting crazy partying.
Mm-hmm.
And she said in the middle of the night, she was walking along, and then she started hearing the engine real loud coming. You know how cars sound like they have a real big engine?
Yeah.
She said she was walking and it was dark. It was on one of the craziest roads we have up in Wyoming, which they call 17 Mile. There's mm-hmm. a lot of stories on that road there. But she said she was walking on 17 Mile. Then all of a sudden, this car pulls up next to her, and it's that black hearse. She said it was a hearse, you know, real fancy and everything.
Yeah.
And that driver opened up that door and he says, "Well, I'm here to pick you up." And she's like, "I'm not getting in that car." And he says, "Well, you know," he's like, "let me give you a ride." And she's like, "No." He's like, "Come on, I'm here for you." And she's like, "No, I'm not getting in that car." He said she had the eeriest feeling, like she got scared. She could feel all that hair stand up. She knew something was wrong. But to me, what she told me was, "Mom," right? She said, "if you ever met the devil," she said, "that's how I felt, like I just met the devil himself."
Hmm.
Yeah, she said, and then she was walking, and he, like, you know, the car kept following her, but it had like a green tint under the car. I don't know how she explained it, like a light or something.
Yeah.
When she turned to look, she said he looked like a, she don't remember how he looked, but he wasn't a clown. She said, and then when it started getting mad because he wouldn't get in, he started turning into a clown, and he was just growling at her, growling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She came up to the first house that she saw. She ran into that driveway, and she went and knocked on her door, and they let her in, but that car sat out there for a good while.
How does it look? Does it look the same way each time when it's in the clown form?
I don't know. I have stories of it on the Facebook page that I have, the ghost stories, the original ghost stories from the Red.
Yeah.
There's a couple other people that have brought up the clown. I'm going to have to ask them. But I know there's a clown also up in South Dakota. They talk about it, and it helps those teams, like, commit suicide too.
Hey, takes that's a lot of lives. Sorry to cut you off, but that's where that lady was from that was telling a story about the clown. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard some stories from people up there that told me that they drives around on a black car, a fancy old time black car, and my daughter said it was fancy old and it looked like a hearse.
Dang, that lady described it. It looked like the Joker on the playing cards. You know, it has that funny hat on?
Yeah.
That's how she described, her friend was telling her the story, but that's how she described it.
See, I wasn't that close. I was, maybe it was a good, like, maybe a few hundred yards away, you know? Yeah. I couldn't see the face, but I knew it had black, like, it was half black and half white.
Yeah. God, that's creepy.
Yeah, it was scary. I couldn't explain it. I to this day, I still can't explain it. But my mom seen it too, right by our house. Our neighbor had a trampoline, and that thing was dancing on that trampoline in the middle of the night. She said the dogs kept barking, and she wanted to go get mad at whatever it was. You know how old Native people are. They'll go get mad at it and tell it, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she went to go do that. And she walked outside. She says, I couldn't say nothing. She said, I got scared, and I came right back in. She said, there was a clown dancing on that trampoline.
Dang.
Yeah.
So that thing is seen quite often back there on the Wind River Res, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
And does, how about that car? Is that car the same way that people see? That car that has people in it that have passed away?
I'm pretty sure, because everyone describes it as a real fancy black car. And it's, they always like, okay, so my sister, she was fasting with a couple other women. And my uncle went up there and he was talking to them. And he said, did you guys hear the car last night? And he said, yeah. That car was out there trying to stop them from fasting and praying and stuff. Yeah, and they said that. They described it as a safe car, fancy black car.
Dang. What would you call that car? Like a death car or something?
You know what? That's what I was thinking. Because, I mean, well, I don't know if you've heard on our reservation before, and I don't know if this is going to freak a lot of people out, but our reservation made headline news in the New York Post. Oh. They even had to do a ceremony on our reservation because a lot of boys were committing suicide.
Dang.
And yeah, they said it. There's a lot more to it. Maybe one day we'll sit down and I'll tell you about it.
Okay.
But all those boys that had committed suicide were the boys sitting in that car that he called in that night to dispatch. And they said that it had a lot to do with people doing bad things on our reservation, like devil worshiping, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. It said that a lot of it had to do with that, and that's what caused those boys to kill themselves.
Okay, that's pretty sad, man.
It is. And it's funny because every time that clown comes around or that car comes around, there's a lot of suicide.
Jeez. Do you think that it's there all the time, or it just comes and goes?
I'm glad you asked me. I think it's there all the time. Yeah, because it's, I mean, I would never change the way I was raised and everything, but there's, on the reservation, there's nothing much for kids to do, so the first thing they do is, you know, they see everyone else who's start partying and drinking, and you know, then eventually that's the way of life, you know, for them. And there's always, I was always told by my ancestors that there's a demon that comes with that alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something evil that comes with that alcohol, and it takes their souls, or it's always around them. Yeah, so you know, and some of those people who committed suicide, some of, you know, I mean, that's what they were doing. They were on that road where they were drinking, partying, doing whatever, you know.
Yeah. Dang.
But a lot of people on my reservation, they know about this car, and they know about the police officer. They know about, you know, the clown.
You know, I remembered when we spoke earlier, before this podcast recording, you said something about a bridge. There's a really spooky bridge. Is that bridge connected to that 17 mile place you talk about?
Yeah, it's called the 17 mile bridge.
Oh.
Yeah.
What happened out there? Or what happens out there?
I don't know, a lot of people have passed away on that road.
Oh no.
Yeah, a lot of people have passed away on that road. They've seen some people that, I don't know if you've read my story on there, but there was a carload of boys and a carload of girls following each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls passed this girl walking on the road, and they recognized her. So they didn't stop. They kept going. They tried to call those boys and tell them, don't pick that girl up. Don't pick her up. But they said, it's too late. We already picked her up. And they turned around and told those boys, that girl, deceased, the one that we just picked up. And she didn't want to leave. Like, she wouldn't get out of the car, nothing. They pulled over. They knew she was deceased, you know. But she wouldn't get out of that car.
Dang, what ended up happening? Did they get her out, or?
And she finally left, but I guess it sounded real evil when she left. Like, she would be laughing at them, growling, and, you know, telling them that she wasn't going to leave, or she's going to see them again, and just other things like that. Yeah, so they had to go get cleansed, doctored.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, that's one of the stories. Another one, they see these dogs that walk on their hind legs, and they laugh at you and talk to you, stuff like that. Yeah. I got one from that road. I'm gonna change names because it was my cousin.
Yeah.
And he used to drink a lot, but he said that he's picked up the devil on that road. We'll call him John.
Okay.
But he said he was driving one night, and he said that, you know, this guy was walking, and he said, I thought I recognized him. I thought I knew him. So I picked him up, and all we did was drink. He said it seemed like we went straight, like, for a week straight. And he said, I never had money that whole time, never had nothing. But whatever I wanted, he would give to me. Anything I wanted, he'd give to me. But he said, so one night I passed out, and he said, man, I was just getting tired of this, you know, partying. And he said, I came through, and I told that guy, I said, I think I just want to straighten up, you know, go straight. And that thing told him, you know, it's too late. I already got you. You already given me everything you have. He said, including your soul. He said, you know, you're mine.
Hmm.
And so after that, my cousin, he really went downhill, and he lost his life.
Damn. Yeah, there's so much of that alcohol, because that, you know, that spirit just takes and takes until there's nothing left, including your life, you know?
Yeah.
It's really sad. And that happens a lot. I mean, I remember the first, one of our friends was actually a distant relative of mine, but he was 32 years old when it took him, just, you know, drank himself to death. And that's young, you know, that's really young. And, you know, I have multiple family members that have passed because of that. Yeah, that spirit's really strong. There are people that get away from it, you know, but it's not everybody does. My aunt told me a story one time that my grandpa, he went to go sober up one of his, well, they were raised as brothers, so we'll just call him his brother. And he went to go sober him up, see, because those old timers, they had a lot of land that's leased. Like, big chunks of land, you know. Now it's more fractionated out because of the descendants splitting up the land, or however that works. Yeah. So it's fractionated more, but back during those allotments that they had, there was a lot they could lease out, and that's how they just stayed drunk. My dad was telling me, it was years. They'd stay drunk years.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, my grandpa finally went to go, I guess he would go take him from his house and bring him to town and sober him up. And he went out there to go check on him, and he seen him in his room and he was passed out in there sleeping, so he went back through his house and he spilled out every bottle. He knew all his hiding places too. He spilled out every bottle. Got everything out of there, you know, and cleaned up. And then he went back in there and he was waking him up. He says, come on now, let's go to town. He says, you've had enough. It's enough now. Sober you up for a little bit. Come on, you can stay at my house. And anyways, he woke up and he told him, I'll go with you. He says, but let me just have one more drink. Go out to that table. There's a man that brings me a bottle every day. He puts it on that table. Will you go get it for me? I told him no. He says, I already spilled everything out. There's nothing here. He said, just go look. And so he went out there, and sure enough, there was a brand new bottle right there. And he knows he cleaned that whole place out. And I don't know what happened after that, if he like gave it to him or what. But anyways, he ended up taking him. He came with him, and he sobered him up. But that man went on to be a spiritual leader, or people call him medicine men. And he led the rest of his life like that. That's how he lived. And he helped a lot of people. He helped a lot of people. He was really a kind man. And my aunt tells me that those bad ones knew that he was going to become something good like that, so they were really trying their hardest to stop him from succeeding. But there are those that get away. You know, there are those that get away.
Well, I talked to you about the hat man.
Yeah.
That happened to me. It's like, I was partying a lot. I had my girls, I was in college, I was doing good, I was going to criminal justice. Then I started hanging out with some old friends, and they're always like, well, let's go party. So and on the weekends I'd be like, okay, well, let's go. Didn't have nothing, to do. My mom would watch my kids. So I start going down the 17 mile by myself. And a lot of people don't travel that 17 mile by themselves, especially at night. They always try to get someone to ride with them.
Yeah.
I was driving, and it was winter time, and the window started fogging up with ice. Like, it started getting icy. So I got out to scrape the ice on the outside, because that's where it goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, the ice was on the inside with the heat. The heat was working, the defrost was working. But on the windshield, there was it was real thick with ice on the inside. But it was a two-seater truck, and I could feel something playing with my hair. Like, it just gave me chills, like someone was rubbing my head or something. And it was right by that bridge. And so I started driving. It was like I was in a fog. Anyway, I ended up at my cousin's house, and she's like, oh, you got here quick, but I don't remember any of it, right?
Yeah.
So we go, and she's like, what's wrong with you? And I said, nothing, I'm all right, and I try to explain to her what happened. She said, there's something wrong with you. She said, I just don't have a good feeling. And usually she's the one who will party before I ever do. And she says, I'm going to stay sober tonight. I'm going to watch you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she stood sober, and we went to a bar, and we ran into some more friends. And the guy, he was like, man, he's like, something's wrong with you. I don't know what's wrong with you, but I'm going to follow you home, after the bar. But while we were sitting there, my cousin kept telling me, something's wrong with you, and don't drink no more. And every time she told me that, something felt like it looked like it should get pushed. Finally, the final, I'd probably say right when they called, last call, she said, you're not going to get another drink. As soon as she said that, something kicked her chair, and she went flying across the whole dance floor. And she flew over, and everyone looked at her like, but no one cared, because they just started drinking again, It was a weird night. So we start driving home, and she's like, well, don't drop me off at home. I'm going to go stay with you, because I just have a bad feeling. And so we get to the bridge again, right where the bridge was, and the windows start icing over again. And she started freaking out, because she saw that it was from the inside. So she was like, man, what is going on? And the guys, they followed us too. And he pulled over behind me and he's like, hey, he's like, you have three people sitting in that cab, but there's only me and her. He's like, from behind, there's three people in your cab. And I'm like, you know, no, there's nobody here. So they followed us home and they told my mom what was going on. So my mom kind of smudged us, you know, told us to go to bed. We did. After that, I start getting mean and angry and, you know, just start being not me. So one day, one weekend, my mom said, your aunt wants you to come down to SWIP. And something kept whispering to me, you don't go. They're not going to that SWIP. That's what they want. They're trying to trick you into going to a SWIP. Mm-hmm. And I kept telling her, no, I don't want to go. And I mean, they pretty much hogtied me and took me to my aunt. I get there and both my aunts are there. They pulled me into the SWIP. They were doctoring me. And everyone in there got scared because I guess I was on all fours growling and trying to attack people.
Dang.
So, yeah, it scared my aunts and them told me they were scared too. Whatever was in me was strong. So they opened up that sweat and they said, you know, we're going to doctor you in front of everyone. We haven't done this in, like, they said maybe 20, 30, 40 years. Hmm. But it's real serious because my heart was racing so bad, like I was going to have a heart attack. And so they pulled some stuff out of me and made me go home. Well, 3 o'clock in the morning, both of them woke up with something choking them. And they both live like 40 miles away from each other. And they look up and it's the Hat Man.
Oh.
And he told them that if I go back to the ways, like drinking, partying, doing all that crazy stuff, that he was going to have my soul. So yeah, I believe there's those really bad ones out there, those really wicked ones out there. And that's what they want.
Geez, you know, it's really, just since I've been doing this podcast, I've noticed it's kind of rare for people to see that Hat Man when they're awake too. And mm-hmm. I've always wondered if that, I don't know, has more significance or what, because most people see him when they're paralyzed, you know?
Yeah.
And they can't move.
Well, you know, and after that, I listened to them for a while, and then I came back to Denver here,
mm-hmm.
and I have a friend, she's a blonde, like blonde hair, blue eye friend.
Yeah.
And she called me one night, and she's like, I didn't know what to tell you, she said, but there's this big, tall thing outside your door. It has a fedora hat, a trench coat. She says, but I can't see the face. It's so dark. She said, but he's been standing there for a while. And I was like, oh my God, you know, I start smudging and stuff, but I guess it followed her home. And she said that she got scared because she could hear hooves, like, you know, like a horse clop, 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 clop. She could hear that follow her home.
Hmm.
Yeah, she said it scared her.
Yeah, we call that one the Goat Man.
The Goat Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was listening to your podcast, I guess he's a police officer, right?
Yeah, one of my friends that's seen it was a police officer, yeah.
Yeah, he was, she was scared, and it scared me to the game and killed, because, you know, you don't hear someone call you up, especially in the city, hey, you got someone standing outside your door, you know, and when you know him from the res, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But on my page, people all over the world have seen the Hat Man.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He's everywhere. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, see, because, okay. Well, I make a distinction myself. So that Goat Man mm-hmm. is one thing, and it's always around, like, alcohol and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I suspect it's some sort of an alcohol spirit, or, you know, people use the word demon too, but I think it's some sort mm-hmm. of an alcohol spirit, whereas that other Hat Man might just be a shadow. He might, you know, be at the end of your bed when you're sleeping and you can't move, you wake up and see him, or something like that. But I think that's a different type of spirit. But the one thing they have in common is they wear a hat and sometimes that trench coat too. But the other one has hoofs that's attracted to the alcohol, you know, the people that consume alcohol. That one has hoofs. And I think it's more scarier, to tell you the truth. I think there's a distinction, though, between the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That it stuck with me. It's still here with me. Like, before I do things, I start thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, what I went through at that time, it took a lot out of me. It took a lot from me.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Jeez. Do you remember any, like when you were being doctor, do you remember...
Mm-hmm.
Like growling and stuff like that?
I don't remember that was the thing, but it was like I was asleep inside my body and I couldn't control it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how to explain it. Because I asked myself too, like, I would never do that, you know? I would never be on all fours growling and, like, scratching at the ground. But, yeah. They told me about it when I got out. They're the ones who told me what happened.
It jumped in you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
But
I just thank God that my aunties were around. One's gone now. And I just really appreciate her and rest in peace, you know.
Yeah. Dang. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, but you just felt like you were asleep, because I'm curious, like, what was that sensation, I guess, if there was one? It just felt like you were asleep, that was it?
Well, I don't know how to explain it. It's like, you're there, you know something's happening, but something took over your body. You can't control it, you know, like, you can't, I don't know. It's like you're in a dream, almost. I guess that's what I should say instead of asleep. It's like you're in a dream.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah,
but that's a big reason why I started the original Ghost Stories from the Res. Because I was like, this can't just happen to me, you know? I know there's other people out there with stories, and I want to know if anyone's been through what I've been through.
Yeah. And your page is really successful. You know, there's quite a few subscribers or members of your group, and you know, there's a lot of ghost stories that have gone through there, and I don't know if you've ever, have you ever told yours out loud like this anywhere else?
No. Well, with family, but family knows too, because a lot of my family's been there, and they're the ones who bring it up, you know, and they're like, do you remember this? Do you remember? And I have to sit there and think about it, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I do. And it's like, I started the original Ghost Story back in 2013.
Wow.
I didn't think it would go anywhere, at least not this far, you know?
Yeah.
And it just, I think what people appreciate is they could tell their story without judgment, is what it is, because I get rid of a lot of those people who make laughing emojis or, you know, make fun of people, because I don't appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I try to help people with their stories, because they're just like me. You know, you sit there and you wonder, did that really just happen to me? You know, or did they really just go through this? Or I think it helps getting it out there.
Because
there's other people who've been through something.
Well, I guess since we're on the subject of your page, what is some of the most, I mean, I guess what stories stand out to you the most that you've read on there?
The one with Angelo.
Yeah, Angelo Bullplume, and he's just so everybody knows, he's on the podcast, and if you guys haven't listened to him, I'd recommend you go back, and it's a long story. It's like over a 2-hour podcast, but it's worth the listen, and yeah, I'd definitely go check that out.
You know, Rod, I have a friend down here who's on the radio station, KS107.5. It's a pretty big station.
Mm-hmm.
And she had me on there, and I mentioned your lodge tales because that was the one story that stuck out to her, too.
Wow.
And she got on your podcast, and she listened to it, too. Yeah.
Yeah, that story could be a movie. I swear, it would make a really good movie.
Well, when he did it, he was like, here, I'll just write it out and I'll send it to you. And can you post it? And I said, sure. But, while I was going along, I was reading it. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I can read a lot of those stories. And I do it late at night because that's when I have time because I'm always busy during the day.
Yeah.
But I had to put his story down and wait till the next day during the, when the lights out and everything to read that story.
Yeah, that was a scary one, man. I mean, and I know all those places is talking about, too.
Mm.
Like, all of those trailers that they had out by Bear Paw. When I drive down that way, because that's where you have to go to the boarding school. And my wife's aunt lives out there, and sometimes we go visit. And every time we drive by there, I look. And I think all of those are moved now or sold or something, because they're not how he describes them. But I look in that area where they were.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of the biggest ones that stood out. There's a couple more. I just have to go through them, but there is a lot of good stories on there. When I start getting too scary at night, I put them down. Stop reading them and, wait till the next day. But there is, because like I said, I go through and I moderate. I have really good moderators that watch my page too, because I don't want people to post a story and then be laughed at. I don't that's disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always on it trying to watch it. So I think that's a big reason why the page is successful, is because they feel that respect that people have.
Yeah, when you asked me to post a couple of my podcast episodes on there, I picked a few. And I put them on, and they run me out there. They thought I was some scammer or something.
Yeah, they and I had to tell them, no, that's, I said, that's Rod. He has lodge, lodge tails.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like, oh, okay. I should have told them before, but, And then I invited the War Cry.
Yeah, a War Cry podcast, yeah.
Yeah, I invited him too, and he's posted the one with you and him.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I mean, for us podcasters too, your page, to any of the, I guess I'll direct this to your audience, to any of the people that submit stories to the Ghost Stories from the Res, if at any time you want to tell your stories aloud, just email me at lodgetales@gmail.com and we'll see what we can do and get you on the podcast. Because, Luan, I think that a lot of times people do want to tell the stories. Like for me, I would rather tell the story because, for one, I mean, I don't mind typing it out. I really don't. But I prefer just to tell the story in my own words,
Yeah.
And I think some people are like that too. I think there's some out there that they, since they have to write it, they almost don't want to. Or it might be too long, because some of these stories are really long. These experiences that have happened to people, like Angelo's story. I mean, what is it on your page? Like a 7-part, something like that. There's a lot of parts
something
to it.
Something like that. Yeah, he had to, he would take some time and it'd, be a little bit of time before the next part. And all my readers would be like, when's the second part coming out? When's this coming out? And I was the same way. I'd be like, I wish he'd hurry because I want to get to the, it's like almost like, a book. let me get to the next part because it got interesting. It's scary, but it was interesting,
It's well written too,
It is.
How he writes, yeah.
Yeah, he puts you right there, like you're right there with him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they have a lot too. they've done multiple episodes on Lodge Tales, so if you guys are interested in some of Angelo's stories other than that main one he told, which is really a good one, him and his wife tell more stories too about different places. We have something similar to 17 Mile called mm-hmm. Seven Mile Lane. Oh, wow. And his wife and him, they lived out near there. They lived there. Like, she lived right where it ends. You go up the road a little ways. I mean, she must have lived about 2 miles from it. Mm-hmm. And Angela lived out that way, too, when they were younger. And so they have a lot mm-hmm. of stories, other stories of that, too. And they have stories about what they call this death spirit that mm-hmm. walked into their daughter's room one time. And she really got sick. It was a big struggle. She talks of a mm-hmm. little person that used to bother around their house in town. But they mm-hmm. have a lot. So if you guys are interested in that, go check that out too. But I guess changing gears here, since I mentioned little people, do you have stories about them?
I have family who has stories about them. One of my nieces, she's had issues with them. And she's part of that. I would say women and children, but it's people now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's a big part of that. She's one of the directors for that. But yeah, she has stories where she lives now, and I guess it has to do with the little people. I'll have to ask her, and then I'll have her get a hold of you.
Oh, okay.
But with the little people, I know my grandma always told me that, you know, they're almost protectors. Mm-hmm. There was a story up in Wyoming where this guy got lost. He was a game warden. He got lost and got turned around in our woods. And he said that he was just sitting there, and these little people came up to him. And they said, come with us, you know, follow us. And he was kind of scared, you know, real apprehensive, because you hear those stories where some of them are bad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a little scared, and he seen this little person lift a deer above him and carry it with one arm like it was nothing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he went, and I guess it was late at night, and so he went with them, and he said their camp, it was just like a camp, you know, they had teepees, this and that, and they fed him. He went to sleep, and here next morning they showed him how to get out of the mountain.
Oh, really? Was he a native guy?
Yeah, he was native. Yeah, he was native. But she always used to tell me, if I go to the mountains and you pick up something, rock, twig, whatever.
Yeah.
She said, you need something shiny. So my cousin, he took me to the mountains one time, we were going to go fishing, and I was ready. This hawk fell out of the tree and broke its arm. So I went to go get some that driftwood for it.
Mm-hmm.
And where we went, he said, be careful because there's little people here. And so I was like, okay. And while we were going up there was this bush. I looked in there, and there was a little medicine pouch hanging from there.
Oh.
When I seen that, I just left some coins and I told him, let's go. Yeah. But I didn't see anything else, just that little pouch.
Yeah. What do they say they look like where you're from?
Like, I don't know how to explain them.
Like, how tall are they?
Not very tall at all. Like, they're small. Like, small.
Yeah, because from...
I don't know.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was just going to say, have you ever watched YouTube where you see those little people running around? Like, maybe even a foot high?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's what she said they're like that, a foot high, like that.
Yeah, that's what they look like around here, and, you know, around the Blackfeet Res is, they're about a foot tall, and they mm-hmm. look like old Indians, you know, they dress the old ways.
Yeah, that's what she said. She said they're still, you know, like they still, what she told me one time was one of her cousins saw them, and that little person was riding, I think she said, a fox, like a horse.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, in our tribe, they're known to turn into coyotes so they could travel faster.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they can shapeshift or whatever. And well, in those old stories, that's what they did. They would sing this song, and when they were done singing that song, they would be coyotes.
Yeah.
And recently, as in, oh geez, 4 years ago, I'm not going to say his name, but somebody I knew, I didn't even want to give away what his relation is to me, but somebody I knew, he's really private about things like that, but in one of his dreams, and he really dreams powerful, this guy, he's there's really something. I wish I could get him to come on and tell some of his stories, man. It would really be fascinating for a lot of people, including myself. But in this one dream he had, he was describing this lodge, this big lodge, and there was this big bull elk in that lodge. And of course, these are all spirits he's dreaming of. And there's a person that had to walk into that lodge, and here outside, standing there in the snow, was a bunch of, you know, regular small elk, but that big elk was inside that lodge. I'm talking like, you know, its head's up to like 12, 13 feet high, you know, like big kind of elk that he was dreaming of. Well, anyways, outside was regular size elk, and there was some coyotes too that were standing amongst their feet, but some of those coyotes would walk, and when they'd go in between those trees and their feet, it would turn into little people and come out the other side, the other tree, they'd be a coyote again.
That's crazy.
But, yeah, so I mean, even up to this day, people still dream of them and, you know that they... Where I grew up at, there's a lot of... There's little people out where I grew up at, and... I mean, I swear sometimes, like, I've asked my brother, I said, do you think... You know, knowing what we know about them, do you think some of those are those little people? He says, man, I wouldn't put it past it at all. He said, because sometimes how they... He says, I know how they sound. We grew up around them. I said, yeah. He said, they just don't sound right. It's almost like they're laughing.
You know, yeah, that's what my grandma said. Mm-hmm. You'll know they're around because they... She said, they sound like little kids, almost like giggling. She said, I don't know how to explain it. Because there was a white guy up there. He used to go into the mountains and he would get those arrowheads.
Mm-hmm.
He'd bring them and he'd pick them home. And then he went to one of this elder man who was a medicine man. They went to him and they said, hey, there's stuff going on in my house. I don't know what's wrong. But at the same time, that guy, he would say, well, you know, what are you doing? Where are you going? What are you doing? And he would tell him, well, I'm going to go get those arrowheads. He said, no. He's like, you don't do that. He's like, you don't, whatever's there, you leave there. You don't ever take anything home, you know? It's just leave it. And he says, well, okay. He said, you should take it back. He says, because I know what's going on in the house. It's those little people coming for them. Mm. And so he took them, and he took them back to where he was finding them. And everything stopped in his house. Nothing happened again. Yeah. Yeah, because he said that he would find little arrowheads like a fingernail size, you know. He said he didn't know how they were getting done and stuff, but that's what he was doing, was picking up arrowheads and stuff like that.
If you watched that series of Res Dogs,
yeah.
About that part when they're all having bad luck, and and one goes, oh yeah, and so-and-so got shot by a little people arrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I just loved it. Me, it was, so when I first started this page, it was called Ghost Stories from the Res.
Mm-hmm.
But some guy, a Pakistani guy from Canada, stole my page.
What?
But before that, even my daughter, she was really into... hearing stories about the deer woman. So we had her, the picture of a deer woman. She drew her and put her on my page. Now I have the hat man, but, you know, it was a lot of it had, like, she was watching the Res Dogs. Remember Dear Woman's on there?
Yeah.
Well, she's really interested in that.
Oh, that's too bad that guy stole your... How did he do that?
He just started... he put up another page. He stole my pictures.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah, he did all that, and he just started saying that he was the creator and all that. So I tried to reach out to Facebook. They didn't do anything. So I just started working on him, and then I guess that's why my moderators are really on it, because they don't want it to happen again. Because, you know, my people depend on me to keep their... Because a lot of them draw pictures to go with their stories.
Yeah.
You know, and they share their artwork. They share their stories. And they're real passionate about it. So I try to, you know, keep it where it's, like, safe. I try, you know, I try my hardest. But there's always some bad apple out there who tries to do something.
Are there any other stories that you could think of that... You know, like, I mean, I'm talking anything like Bigfoot or just, like, what's the scariest story that you've heard in your family or even back on your res?
I could tell you my scary stories. My whole family has scary stories. We would be here for years. But my scariest story, it really bothered me. So, you know, there was this priest that used to come to my grandma's and give her communion, because she was an older lady. She couldn't leave, you know. So he would come every time, and we knew him real good. His name was Father Packard. And rest in peace. You know, he was a really good man. He was one of the greatest men I've ever known. And that's crazy, because I'm not really into Catholicism because of what they did to our people, you know.
Yeah.
But my grandma, she was a strong Catholic woman. So he would come give her communion. And so he was giving her communion. And he walked in that day, and my sister had The Exorcist on the TV. Right?
Yeah.
So he walked in, and he turned ghost-like. I mean, he was already really pale because he was the older gentleman.
Yeah.
But, I mean, all the blood left him, and he fell back into the chair. And my mom started cursing, turn that da-da-da-da-da off, you know? And so we ripped and turned it off, and I went and got him water, and I gave it to him. I said, here, Father Padberg. I said, what's wrong? He said, you know that movie you're watching right there? He said, it's a real bad movie. And I said, yeah, I know, you know, because The Exorcist lives, you know? And he said, but I'm going to tell you something. And this was back in the 80s. He said, I'm going to tell you something. This is before anyone knew it really happened to a little boy. He said, that story is true, he said, because I was a young man in the seminary. He said, and that happened to me. That story is based on a true story about a boy. He said, and I was there because I guess they were going to try to train him to be a what are they called, exorcist? And he said, that really changed my life, he said, because I would never do that. He said the things I saw would probably turn normal people's hair white. He said that was, it was awful and it was bad, and he would never wish that on anybody. So knowing that, I was scared, you know, when it came to the Ouija board. So I was, I went to a friend's house, and they were all partying. He had a trailer house. And in front of the house, there was a bedroom. But when you walk in the door, you walk right into the living room. And at the head of the house was the bedroom. And from the other side, it was the kitchen to bathroom to back bedroom. Well, in his front room, he had this, you know, those old-time beds that used to fold up with springs and stuff? He had one of those up there. And I walk in, and all these people are partying and stuff. They said, hey, we're going to play the Ouija board. You know, got all happy. And I'm all like, oh, no, I ain't going to play that. I said, I'll just go to the front room and go pass out. So I went to go lay down. And I didn't hear nothing. I closed the door and everything. It was pretty quiet. All of a sudden, like on The Exorcist, that bed started popping up and down with me on it. Like jumping up and down. I start screaming, and the first thing I thought of was on, like, that movie, The Exorcist. Remember when her bed jumping up and down.
Yeah.
That's what was going on. I started screaming. My friend went in there and he swooped me up and took me over to his grandma's. And I never went back into that house again. Because it scared me pretty bad. But after that, I would have weird things like follow me and, you know, like make scratches. And I told my mom. I was scared. I was like, God, I'm going to get possessed. I was all freaked out. But yeah, that was probably my scariest story for me. But I mean, I've had other things happen, but that, because that's, I was young, you know, you don't believe in stuff like that, you know?
And yeah.
It happened, so. But yeah, I have a Bigfoot story too.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm. That village I lived in Milpik, you know, it's in the middle of nowhere, you know. Everyone used to tell me, watch out for the clown, watch out for the walking dogs that talk, spirits, and Bigfoot. This white guy, he used to have his cows there. He leased some land right next to the Mill Creek Village, and there was always cows there. He was always calling the police station up at Fort Washakie, telling them, you know, hey, Bigfoot's killing my cattle. I need you guys to do something about it, you know. And the cops used to patrol there and walk and stuff. But his cattle would always end up dead. Yeah, he'd always have dead cattle there, you know, just ripped apart. Like that, something took that cow and just ripped it apart or ripped the heads off.
Dang.
So I didn't, you know, believe anything. I was like, yeah, right, Bigfoot, whatever. So one morning, my sister said, well, let's get to Denver early. So she used to like to travel like around maybe 3-4 o'clock in the morning, sometimes 5. You know, when the sun is there, like you can see the light in the morning coming out, but you could see things, but it's still, there's still darkness.
Yeah.
I walked out of the my house to go get in the car, and I had my pillow, blanket, because I was going to let her drive. And up on this hill where there's a little cul-de-sac in that circle, I look up to that house, and there's this thing that's as tall as the house. It's just a single floor house, but that thing was as tall as the house, and its arms hung way below its knees. I don't know how to explain it. You know,
yeah.
It's walking, and its stride was so huge, like it took 3 steps, it was already behind the house. And then it came and it peeked around and looked at me. And I'm looking at it like, is that really happening? You know, because I'm the type that probably get killed in a scary movie, because I'm always like, is that there? Is that really happening? Like the clown is now Bigfoot. And I'm just sitting there staring at it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I finally went inside and I went to go tell my sister and my mom, I think I just saw Bigfoot out there. And we go out there and it stunk. It smelled, I don't know how to explain it, like a skunk, but rotten, you know. And all the dogs were just barking, barking, barking all around the village, like they were barking. And then you could hear one of those cows, like, it made an ugly scream. Like, it just went and tore, like, it just got torn apart.
Mm. Yeah. Did you have any dreams? Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just wondering, did you have any dreams about it afterwards?
Yeah. Yeah. I watched a movie one time about Bigfoot where he starts killing people and stuff.
Yeah.
So I was always scared, you know, like, I don't ever want to run into him again. Because what I seen him do, like, those 3 strides, like, you can't even run from them if they're going to come at you, you know? And so, yeah, I was having dreams, but I talked to my grandma and my aunt, and they said, well, you know, don't be scared, they said, because in our way, he protects the mountains, he protects the animals, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, they'll never find him is what they told me. Like, you know how people are like, well, how come we can never find him?
Yeah.
And they told me they come from a portal. There's a portal that he comes to. And they're like, if you ever see him, just leave him alone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Tell him go his way and you go your way. And I had some cousins up there that used to go to the mountains because they would bring timber down and they would watch my kids. And I would hear my kids tell me stories like, Mom, we saw a family of Bigfoot today. You know, and it's like, what did you guys do? Oh, Auntie and Uncle just told them to leave us alone and we'll leave them alone. And they'd walk off, Mom. You know, and it was crazy just hearing stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
That smell, you'll never forget that smell when you know he's around, though. Because it stunk like, it smelled like a skunk, but it almost smelled like rotten meat, too.
Yeah, that's another thing. Some people say they really have they really smell something stink. Others say there's no smell. And, yeah. Like, when my wife seen one, just got all quiet, and, you know, everything got quiet. It was really weird, she said, and, when it jumped out of that tree, it barely made noise because it was in a tree. It was a small one, though. But afterwards, she started having dreams about it. You know, a couple, not a lot, just a few dreams. So that's what I was wondering. And I never did get to ask my dad if he was having dreams about him. But other people, I heard him talk about it, too. I think there's more to it than just... You know, it's on your mind, it just happened, so you're dreaming about it. I think there's a little more to it than that, because, I don't know, I almost suspect that they only show themselves to certain people. It's kind of almost what I suspect, because I've never seen one. So I really wonder about that. We'll never know, you know, I don't think, but it's fun to think about.
I do, I wonder sometimes, because I never thought I'd see one, especially in... Down, I don't know how to explain it, down in the village, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I'd see it. And I, you know, when they used to tell me about the white guy calling the police, because my friends were police up there, they used to tell me some stories, you know. And I never believed it. Like, you know, I didn't think it was true. You know, I didn't know what to say until I saw him. And I was sitting there like, oh, my gosh, I just saw Bigfoot. You know, it's like, wow. You know, and it stuck on my mind, so I think that had a big thing to do with the dreams, you know, but there's a movie, I think it's called Exit or something like that, where he starts ripping people apart.
Yeah.
So that was kind of on my mind. When he saw me, he was just, like, curious, too, you know? It was weird, because he was curious. He peeked around that house to look at me, and then he took off.
Jeez, if he had a camera, he'd have probably took a picture. No?
Probably not. I said, I'm always that dumb one that gets stuck just staring, forgetting to roll my camera, you know?
I was saying if Bigfoot had a camera, he would have probably took a picture. Oh,
yeah. He was looking at me like, look at that weird one. Is it a real human?
Yeah, I'm going to go show these guys. They'll never believe me, but I got a picture now.
but I post a lot of funny things about Bigfoot on, like, geez, we haven't seen him for a while, I hope he's doing okay. You know, crazy stuff like that, because, you know, it's like, I kind of missed it, like, where's Bigfoot now?
Yeah, and again, can you tell them where they can find your page at and what the name is?
Yeah, it's the Original Ghost Stories from the Rez on Facebook.
Yeah, that was LaVon Rodriguez. From the Original Ghost Stories of the Rez. Again, I would encourage everybody to write in or to, you know, contact me somehow. YouTube, you can leave a comment or whatever. And if you have stories that you want to share, please, by all means, come on. We're always looking for more people to interview. And, you know, we always look forward to hearing new stories from different people. There's quite a few ghost stories that I hear from down south that I've never had anybody come on for. Like our people from the south of the border. You know, those are indigenous folks as well, and I'd like to hear more about them. They're little people they call duendes. I'd really like to hear about those types of stories. And they have a lot. They're really in touch or in tune with that spiritual side like we are too, you know. Up north of the border, so I would just like to hear more of them. And the people from Canada as well, they have a lot of stories, and I've never heard any native yet talk about those Wendigo type spirits, and you know, from what I understand, they're a really hungry type spirit and kind of bound to this earth, you know, driven by hunger and whatnot. So it would just be fascinating to hear a ghost story from them, you know, from somebody that knows one, be it in your family or you experienced yourself. So, you know, reach out if you're comfortable and share them with us. We'd really like to hear from you guys. So with that, let's go ahead and end here. And like I said, I'm going to be getting more out, so stay tuned for all of those. And until next time.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.